Let's take our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 again. And I won't take a lot of time introducing this again tonight, but I want to just emphasize the fact that the service of the Lord is always based in a love for the Lord. And I want to just spend, if I can, a little bit of time tonight helping us to understand how we can love God in a better way, and then in a practical sense, how do we live that out? So I've really got two parts to the message tonight. I want to give you the outline, and I don't think that'll take too long, and then I want to give you the application at the end, and I've got some points for the applications, and it's a little different than I normally do it, but I think it's something that will help us tonight as we look. And we notice there in our passage tonight that Paul, after he goes through his customary greeting as he writes the letter to the Thessalonians, he begins then to address them in a way that I believe we can find a testimony of their love for the Lord. And in verse number 3, Paul is telling them, listen, in verse 2, we give thanks to God for you always. When we think of you, church in Thessalonica, we thank the Lord for you. I just want to say tonight that as I think of I'm not in Paul's position, and it's not even a comparison tonight, but when I think of Broadview Heights Baptist Church, I thank the Lord for you. I'm thankful for what God has given to us as a church. I'm thankful for the Spirit. I'm thankful for the purpose and the vision and the unity and the direction that God is taking us in. I'm thankful for that. When I think about it, I rejoice. I really do, and I'm thankful for that. Now, we ought not to take that for granted. It doesn't just happen. It's not like this because we have Broadview Heights Baptist Church in the name. It's not like this because so-and-so is a member here. We have those things. We have the wonderful things that God's given to us. Now, we're not perfect. I mean, you can look around and see that. And, you know, there may be somebody in here that's been a little turned aside by somebody else, you know, today or something. I mean, we're not perfect. I understand. But listen tonight. The fact of the matter remains that when we're going the same direction for the Lord, that there will be a spirit of unity. But I want to say tonight that that is the foundation of our work. That unity that the Lord has takes work. Did you notice a couple of those verbs in verse number 3? There are 3 of them, and I love when we can pick out the outline right from the Scriptures, all right? So do you see the first one there? Help me out with this tonight again. Number 1. Okay, let's go to verse 3. Are you in verse 3 there? Maybe I'm in the wrong one. Go on down to, okay, he's remembering. That's what he's doing. But go down to what it is that he is remembering. I guess we'll make it that clear, all right? So he's remembering a work of faith, all right? And I led you astray because I said that's a verb, isn't it? It's not really a verb, all you grammar people, I know. It's a noun, but it sounds like a verb. Okay, so number 1, it's a work of faith. Number 2, there's a? Okay, now, the first 2 things deal with work and labor. Did you get that? Oh no, I don't like that this is going, Pastor, right? And I don't like the fact that we're dealing with work and labor. I like the love part, and I like the, you know, all of those things, but I don't like the fact that there's work involved. But I want to tell you tonight, church, that nothing happens good for the Lord without some work. Labor, effort. Now, I'm not saying tonight that we work for salvation. I hope you're mature enough in the Spirit and in the spiritual walk with the Lord to understand what I'm saying tonight. God loves us regardless of what we do for Him. Do you understand that? He loves us regardless of who we are. He already loved us before we were even born. But what I'm saying tonight is that on our end, and I'm looking at this from a James perspective, all right? Show me thy faith by your works. And I'm saying tonight that if there's going to be a labor of love, if there's going to be a work of faith tonight, those things indicate some effort that are involved as a church. And if we're going to continue to live out our love for the Lord, and if we're going to have a foundation for that, we must understand the work that is involved in that. I know it's easy for us, just like it is for everybody else as a Christian, to sit there and say, I love God. And, you know, I go to church and do my part. And I sit there and, you know, I participate and I give and I do all the things that I'm supposed to do. But let me say tonight, friends, that if we're going to be a church that is living out our love for the Lord, it's an effort-based thing. We must be active in what we're doing. And I'm going to explain that tonight, if I can, for just a moment. But then the last one we didn't get to, verse number 3. We said that there was a work of faith, a labor of love, and then what's the third one? Patience of hope. Now, that doesn't sound like work. As a matter of fact, it really isn't. But it is the, it is really then the longevity of the work that we're going to talk about concerning that. So I've got these 3 points, and then let me apply them as we get through the end tonight. And notice, if you would, first of all, the phrase, the work of faith. Now, if I might start and say that this is the foundation of all of what we do for the Lord. Faith must be at the foundation of everything that we do. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, I understand from the scriptures that faith is a vital part of our Christian life. In other words, the Bible says the just shall, say it with me, live. And I believe it's important that as we as a Christian live out our love, it must be founded in faith. Now, you tell me tonight, church, where or what is the formula in the Bible for faith in our lives? And it's faith cometh by hearing. Okay, do you see the formula there tonight? All right, so there is a foundation that we must lay getting started with this labor of love, this work of faith, this effort that we're putting forth. There's a foundation tonight that is really clear, and that is the Word of God. There must be our faith strengthened in the Word of God. Now, in doing that this month, Lord willing, starting on Wednesday nights, and I don't know, it's not just going to be during February, but the Lord's laid on my heart to really go through some doctrine in the Scriptures, not dry, boring doctrine, but doctrine that maybe we might be a little bit shy of, or we might not understand as much, and to help us to get again a faith foundation based on the Word of God. Now, I'll tell you the problem with anybody that's having trouble loving God, the problem in their heart is that they don't have faith in God because they don't have a good relationship with His Word. Let me tell you tonight, this line that we're talking about here is so proven that God has based His whole character on it. If you will trust me and learn of me, you will love me, is what He's saying. And when you love me, you will work for me. Now that sounds like a devious plan, but what it is, it's the marvelous Creator who is so good and wonderful for us that if we get to know Him, it changes our lives. And I want to tell you tonight, it starts with that work of faith. This is to be that foundation, the faith that we have, that we stand on. And if there's any work to be done, it must be born from a heart of faith. James tells us in verse number 18 of chapter 2, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Here's what he's saying. You can say you have faith all you want, but faith that is true, faith that is foundational, will always produce a work for the Lord. There is a work of faith. Now, what I'm not talking about is a work of flesh. Because it's easy for us as a church, listen, to stand in a place or to operate in a way and to go on in a ministry or in the work of the Lord and to grow weary in that. Let me tell you, you're not weary in your flesh, you're weary in your faith. If we weary in our flesh, it's because we're weary in our faith. Now, I'm not saying that we're superhuman when we have faith, but what I'm saying is there will not be a stopping point. There will not be a cutting off of the work for the Lord that I have in my heart. There won't be a cutting off of the desire that I have to work for the Lord. That will only grow as my faith grows. Faith and works are so united together that as faith grows, so does work. And so I see a pattern developing for us as Christians to gauge ourselves by. As my faith grow, and as I take steps of faith and obedience in my Christian walk, guess what also I would see growing in my Christian walk? My involvement in the work of the Lord. Now, the inverse is true as well. If I take steps backwards in my faith, which, by the way, happens often in our Christian life, we could take a step forward. Hallelujah, victory by faith. Whoa, I don't know about that, right? Haven't even been there. What I'm saying is that as we go forward in our faith, we see works abound and things begin to happen in our lives. But as we step back, what do we see happening? The works that are supposed to be born out of that faith are also decreasing. I'm telling you tonight that Paul was rejoicing in the Thessalonian church because their work was a work of faith And it was foundational to everything that they did. Now, we'll find out more in just a moment, but I see, first of all, that the work of faith begins with our receiving the Word of God. If you look at verse number 6 of that same chapter, the Bible says, and I have in my Bible there a little bracket next to verse 6, and I have written the cause. Notice the cause in verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the Word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. My friend, tonight, the success of the Thessalonian church was success based on their receiving of the Word of God. And so if we can go down to verses 7 and 8, we find that they are a great example to those believers who had much more. But their example was, listen, that they've had the Word of God received, and then their works followed them, and it was an amazing work. Matter of fact, Paul says, you gave over and abundantly what you could even afford. It goes so far beyond what you could do. It's obvious it's the work of the Lord. We don't even have to tell people about you. They already know what's going on. Why? Because the Word of God was at the foundation for everything they did. Now, church, I cannot emphasize enough the value and the importance of the Word of God in our lives as we go through the month of February and on through 2018 as we're waiting for the Lord to come back. The Word of God must be foundational in our lives because it's a work of faith we're doing. And faith is only found in the Word of God. And when the Word of God is weak in our lives, and it's, I'm not talking about we despise it or we hate it. I'm just talking about maybe we neglect it or we don't meditate on it. It doesn't become a part of us. Then our faith grows weak, and so does our work. You see, it's a work of faith. And so number one, it's based on the Word of God. But number two, I see in verse number 8 there that the works of faith are a loud testimony for the Lord Jesus, for God Himself. Notice in verse 8, for from you sounded out the Word of God, the Word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Did you see that word? It sounded out. How many are with Pastor tonight? And you would say, Pastor, I would love for Broadview Heights Baptist Church to have the testimony that our faith is sounding out. Whoo! I'm telling you tonight, that would be the joy and rejoicing of my heart. If we had a testimony that our faith was sounding out, not just reverberating in the walls of our church, but sounding out to the world around us. And I mean getting that word, and I'm not saying it's we just got to go do more, although I think we can do more. And I believe we need to do more. But I think tonight we need to make our faith foundationally secure on the Word of God. And if you're going to do anything to begin, it needs to be foundational on that Word of God so that when we do the work, it can be sounded out to God's glory and to His praise. It's their testimony, but it's God's praise. And I'm saying tonight, that's my heart. That's what I want to see the Lord do. And I believe He can, but it's going to take us keeping the Word of God at a foundational level and our faith growing so that the works can be a work of faith. Let me give you number two. Notice the labor of love. We see the work of faith, but Paul comes back to the labor of love. And I want to say tonight, love then becomes the vehicle, we might say, by which these works of faith are carried out. You see, it's a work of faith, but the labor in it is a labor of love. Now, that sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? Labor, love, we don't usually put those in the same word, right? Many of us are going to go to work tomorrow. You may not put this word love in the sentence with going to work. Now, if you're Miss Hannah Bennett, she was going to nursing. She loved that, and that's great. And you might love your job, too. But here's what you're saying tonight. We're saying that the labor that's taking place is a labor that is out of a heart of love. Now, I want to tell you again, we're talking about this paradigm, all right? The paradigm starts with the foundation of the Word of God. It's a work of faith. The work of faith produces in us the labor of love. Now, I'm telling you, a labor of love changes everything. You've heard that usually when it's referring to someone taking care of a spouse or a loved one. Because it's a lot of work to take care of somebody whom you love that is very needy. Now, I haven't done it personally yet, and I don't know that will be my calling. Maybe it will, I don't know. But I know people who have. I know people who've sacrificed everything so that they can take care of someone that they love. Now, you ask yourself, why do they put themselves through that? Why don't you just make use of the resources that we have? I mean, there are facilities for them to go in. There are things that they could do. But no, they want to do that because, and it comes back to this, I love them. Now, you can't explain that, humanly speaking, because love is something that transcends really all of flesh. But let me tell you tonight that the love that we have for God ought to have that same effect in our lives. What are you saying? Well, God hasn't called us to take care of a sick or ailing loved one, but he has called us to serve him. Did you hear that tonight? Now, God may have called some of us to care for a sick or ailing loved one, but in a grander scheme, that's a temporal thing. There will be an end to that. God, though, has called us to a labor of love that is absolutely sound and secure for all of eternity, and it's based in our faith in God. It's carried out in our love for him. I say tonight, church, if we're going to live out our love for the Lord, the vehicle has to be the vehicle of love for God. But let me tell you, if the love for God is lacking, the problem isn't the love for God. The problem is the foundation of faith. Are you following me tonight? I'm not trying to confuse you. I just want you to understand that we will love God. If you know God, you will love God. And I think together tonight, if you're saying, man, I'm just kind of puttering along. I just don't feel motivated. I don't feel really called to do something for the Lord. I'm kind of discouraged about the work of the Lord. Listen, get back to the Word of God. Find out who He is. Get back in love with the Lord Jesus Christ again. Strengthen your faith in Him. Get active in church. Get around those that want to study the Bible. Call together people to pray with you and learn who God is again. Because when you learn who God is again and by faith you know Him, then you will love Him again. And service will be the theme of our labor. I just want to say that love needs to be the foundation for what we do, but faith is the foundation for love. And so tonight, church, this is where we're coming. Now, there's one last thing that we find here, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But I want to see that this labor of love tonight is this avenue. It's the vehicle of faith that are carried out. And we believe God, and we know Him by faith, so we love Him. And to know Him is to love Him. It's not like husbands and wives. Now, I know you may not believe this, but you're not always going to feel in love with a husband or wife, young people. Oh, but he's so cute and she's so beautiful. That's good, you know, that's really good, but that only lasts so long. Now, there are days, you know, when it's there again, you know. Kind of being a po-po-po on all this, aren't I? Here's what I'm saying. We can't just go by feeling, right? We by faith, and when I married my wife, praise the Lord, back almost 20 years ago now. Isn't that hard to believe, sweetheart? Man, hard to believe for her. She's been married to me for almost 20 years. It's amazing. And so we by faith really took an oath. I will honor this till death do us part. Now, none of us knew what that would handle or what that would entail. We'd said it by faith. It's a vow. But you know, to know me may or may not be to love me. Any particular day, all right? It depends on, you know, whatever. There's a lot of things that go into that. To know me may or may not be to love me. But let me say tonight, to know God is always to love Him. There is never a day when He's not lovable, when He's not, and I'm not trying to draw Him down, but I'm saying there's never a day when He cannot be loved, and the more we know Him, the more we love Him. You know who don't love God, and they feel like they misunderstand Him, and they feel like He's mean and He's judgmental? The people that don't know Him. And I want to say again that God has called us to know Him and to understand who He is. And He has nothing to hide because He knows that His character and His calling to us is pure and holy and lovely. And so He has called us to this. There's a labor to be had and there's a task to be completed. Thus it be wrong to say that we love God and His Word, yet our lives show that we really have little effort or labor invested in His service. And so I'm saying tonight, church, let's not say we love God when we're not serving God. And I don't want you to pretend to love God and serve Him. I want you to get back to the faith and truly find out who He is, and so we can serve Him with a genuine heart. Our love then can truly be lived out. That's where we have to get back to. Too often we get stuck here and say, oh, I know I got to serve, and I got to serve here, so I'll just keep on serving and keep on serving, and oh, man, here we go again, keep on serving. And we just go and go and go, and we've long time ago lost the love for the Lord Jesus Christ that we're supposed to have. Let me tell you, you could do this for a long time, and somebody with great character can do this their whole life and find zero success or fulfillment in it. Now, are we to love God and serve Him? Yes. It is a labor of love. But oh, woe is the Christian that labors in just continuing in service without the love. And I'm saying tonight, don't continue in service without love for the Lord. Step back into the work of faith so that you might then be able to have the labor of love that God has called us to. Now, church, I'm thankful for all of us. We have people who sacrifice and do wonderful things and give of themselves, and I'll do it, Pastor, and I'm there, and I'll do this, and praise the Lord. But let me say tonight, church, if we're going to do things for the Lord, it's got to be the labor of love, and it's got to be founded in the work of faith. Let me give you, if I can, then lastly here tonight, number three, and that is the patience of hope. Now, this speaks of the longevity, then, of that service of love. The labor of love can be demanding. The labor of love can be discouraging sometimes. Have you ever been disappointed by someone in the service of the Lord? Oh, yes. I mean, have we ever been turned back? I mean, we're working with people. We deal with people, deal with me. I mean, everybody. We all discourage. We all disappoint. We all disappointed. And it's easy for us to come to this place in the service of love, in the labor of love, and just kind of throw up our hand. I love God and I want to serve Him, but man, I'm just disappointed. I don't understand. Where do we get the longevity for that? I want to say it goes back to this idea of faith, all right? And it bears out in love, and that's the vehicle. But let me tell you tonight, there's a pin in this whole thing, and it's called hope. It's called hope. Hope, the Bible teaches us, is something that is divinely inspired through the truth of the Word of God. And I would say tonight that just like our labor of love is based in the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus in His truth that comes from the Word of God, so hope is also bound to that same faith in the Word of God. Where else do we have hope but from the Word of God? The Bible calls it the anchor of our souls. The Bible calls it the rock of our salvation. The Bible calls it the stone that we are standing on when our feet are brought out of the miry clay. And I'm telling you tonight, church, that God has given us a hope that is beyond all hope, that is far above anything that mankind can give us, and it's the hope that God has given through His Word. Listen tonight, the Bible teaches that we are saved into a blessed hope. And I'm saying tonight that the hope that we have in Christ gives us the longevity of service. Don't lose the patience of hope that God has given to us. One commentator put it this way, their hope and their patience of hope we see. We are saved by hope. This grace is compared to a soldier's helmet. If you go to Ephesians, you'll find that. Notice also a sailor's anchor that I referenced earlier. It is of great use in times of danger. My wife had a great thought this week, and it's so true. She said, you know what, anchor on a boat is something that keeps you tied to security. And it doesn't mean that the forces of nature will stop against you. Anchors don't prove that you're never going to have a storm or you're never going to be blown about. But what it does do is when those storms come, it holds you to where you should be. You're not going to stray far if you have the anchor. And I'm saying tonight that that's what hope does. We might be laboring in love tonight, and we might have all of that, but man, the storms come and rock us aside. If we don't anchor ourselves in the hope of God's Word, we're going to get blown off course. And that's where God has taught us here tonight, that we have the hope of His Word. The Bible speaks of wherever there is a well-grounded hope of eternal life, it will appear by the exercise of patience. In a patient bearing of calamities of the present time, and a patient waiting for the glory to be revealed. For if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience hope for it. What he's saying is, if I know that something's coming, I may not be able to see it, but I'm holding that in my heart. Now let me tell you tonight, church, we're going to serve the Lord and live out our love. And it's going to be because we remember what Christ has promised to us. Not just heaven, but you know His coming is very soon. Now, that's exciting to me. And I'm excited about this because the hope that Jesus tells us about is something we hold in our hearts very dearly. And I'm saying tonight, that gives me motivation to get up tomorrow morning and to live out my love for the Lord. And to say, you know what, so-and-so may not want to hear this, or so-and-so did this, or they're making the wrong decision, or they didn't get saved, and I think they should have, or they were close and they didn't. And to go on and keep going on. Why? Because I know that Jesus is coming back. And I'm just saying tonight that our living out of love has to follow these three principles in the Scriptures if we're going to be successful. We're going to live out love by having a foundation of faith, the work of faith, which leads to the, I believe, the labor of love that's made kind of secure by the patience of hope. And so God has called us to this, to live out love in our life. Now let me give you these applications as we close tonight. And I want to just give you four applications concerning this paradigm that we talked about. How do we see that lived out? Number one, I see this, that God's love to us sets an example. Now that's very elementary to say, but listen carefully tonight. I know how to love because God loved me. You know, that's God's kind of purpose in this whole thing. John chapter 3, verse 16, a very common verse that we know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Specifically, God made us take note here, encouraged us to take note of his own example in an area that we have something to copy, and that is found in Ephesians chapter 5. And it's speaking to husbands. And remember what God said to the husbands? Love your wives. And do you know why or how? Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for. Now, the emphasis tonight is not on marriage, although it's a wonderful topic and I think it has some great truths. The emphasis is on the example that Jesus showed to us through that. Jesus' love to us shown through his love for his church by giving himself for it is at the very core of what we do, church. That's why we preach Christ. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we emphasize these things. Why? Because this is what God has done for us. This is what I can do for others. It's not an obligation. It's not a threat. It's a joy to live for the Lord. And his love sets an example for us. I'm reminded of several men. I won't go through it tonight for time's sake, but oh, there's been men who have lived this out in their lives. I know men who have set aside things. I know women who've set aside things that they were passionate about so that they could serve and give. And I'm telling you tonight, it's a powerful testimony to those that love God, the amount of sacrifice they're willing to give. I'm thinking of one, you know the story of Borden of Yale, perhaps. And young William Borden was an heir to the Borden fortune, the Borden dairy fortune. And if you remember the story, I don't have all the details in front of me, but he was going to go through school as he was going to graduate. He was going to get a fortune, and he rejected all of that. He said he took what he had, and he gave it away, and he said, I'm going to serve the Lord in a foreign country. And on the way, he was laid over by sickness and ultimately died as a young man before he even was able to do anything for the Lord in reality. And everybody looks at that and says, what kind of a waste of life is that? Somebody would be willing to give up all of that and then not even get to the place where God wanted him to be. What a waste of life. Let me tell you tonight, I think they said that about the Lord Jesus too. Such a young man, 33 years old. And I mean, he had so much going for him, so many people, so popular. What a wasted life he had. What I'm saying tonight is that nothing done in the love and service of the Lord is ever wasted. And God used that man to spur a generation of young people to serve the Lord like we've never seen before. And I'm not saying that may be the only reason. I'm saying that's only the visible reason. I don't know what God did with his life in the human terms, but I know this, that that man gave up a lot so that he might be able to serve the Lord. And I'm thinking that his rewards in heaven are going to far outweigh me, who's lived twice as long as him. I'm just saying tonight that the labor of love that we have is the example is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave everything, all. Now, I'm not saying tonight that we all need to give up everything, but I'm saying tonight if God is calling us to give up something and give up everything, we ought to do it because he is worthy of that by his example. Let me give you number two application. God calls us to love himself in this same way. We see in Mark, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. I don't know about you, but that's quite a list. All my heart. That is all my emotions. That means there's nothing else for me to love outside of God. All my heart. And then it talks about my soul. That's that part of me that's the eternal part of me, the part that is who I am, the everlasting part, we might say. To love Him with all my soul, and then all of my mind. That's everything that I can process in this world and how I think, and love Him with every part of my intellect and my thought process. And then my strength, that's what my body does. It's everything that it's an action outwardly. And so I love God with how I think and how I feel and what I do and who I am. And it's within and without everything that I do. Let me tell you tonight, church, that's a high calling. But I want to tell you tonight, that is how God has called us to love Him. And my question to you is, how do you measure up to that? How has your life reflected that this week? Oh, Pastor, that's impossible. Okay, I would agree with you that it's impossible, but does it also follow then that I can't do anything? Or that I should not give any effort at all? Just because I can't be perfect in it doesn't mean I can't do anything in it? I'm saying tonight that if God wants us to do all of this, let's at least attain to what we can do. And so may God help us as we go forward, that the work of love would be not just in theory, it wouldn't just be in doctrinal statement, but it might be in action. You see, that was the difference between the other churches and the church in Thessalonica. They lived out their faith. And they did their work of love, even though they were so far behind financially. It's easy to say, I love you. We heard these words uttered from many people. But let me tell you, love is expressed in words. It isn't found in words. Love is found in action. And that's what 1 Corinthians 13 teaches. Let me give you the last thing tonight. Oh, let me give you two more very quickly. God calls us then, number three, to love others in the same way. We love God in this way, but we need to love others in the same way. Quickly, the Bible teaches us, whoso have this world's good, 1 John chapter 3, and see his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. If our love does not include deeds, work, labor, then I would be very pressed, hard-pressed to call that love. And if your love for the Lord tonight, church, and if my love for the Lord does not include labor for Him, I would be hard-pressed to call that love. You might have an emotion of feeling, but that comes and goes. But do you have a love for God that is shown towards others? And so we can see this carried out in the Good Samaritan. You know the story there. I won't go through it. But that love for others is what he was exampling. And then number four tonight. And thus, these three things. God is our example. He's called us to love Him like this. He's called us to love others like this. And so, it is this that we want to emphasize as we go through this month. But I want it to carry on beyond this month. Living out our love, church, goes far beyond the month of February. It needs to be carried out then as a practice in all of our labor for the Lord. I want this to be a launching point. I want it to be something that we can go back to and re-reflect on. And this month, we want to reflect or emphasize the fact that the love of God is what moves us to action. And we want to live that love out for the Lord. And I desire that. And I would call you then, brethren, to a place of service that maybe is beyond what you have been used to or your habit has been. Can I encourage you to take steps of faith and understand who the Lord is? Take steps of obedience. Make the Word of God important to you this month. And find out then yourself falling in love with the Lord and yourself being opened up to this idea of, I want to do something for the Lord. I want to be a part. I want to get involved. I want to labor for the Lord. I want to do something. I want to love God and love others. And I want to do this as God has called me to do. And I challenge you in that. I call you, like Galatians in chapter 5 and verse 13, for brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. May I encourage you this month, church, that you would put some feet to your love and to your faith, and that you would serve one another. serve others, serve those that are outside of our church, serve those that are within our church, serve your family. And I would say tonight that we're doing a wonderful job, but I want to call us to a level that maybe we're not used to, or maybe we haven't been used to at this point. And there's ample opportunity, but I want to say tonight, church, that let's not just do it out of obligation. Okay, Pastor, I'll do something for you. No, don't do it for me. I want you to say, you know, Pastor, I've been spending time with the Lord, and man, my life has just been transformed. I've just been knowing God and seeing Him in ways that I can't even imagine, and I just want to do something for Him, Pastor. Do you have anything we can do? Or, Pastor, better yet, I was thinking I would fit pretty good in this position. What do you think about that? Oh, after I get up off the floor? No, I'm just kidding. People come to me all the time saying, I appreciate it very much. My problem is trying to find places for everybody to do things. But I'm telling you tonight, the work of God is important to do. And may the work of love then be shown in our hearts. And let's purpose tonight that we're going to live out our love for the Lord. Live out our love. Shall we pray together?